I'm Katie and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode number 12, and this week I'm talking to Jackie Wakelam. We talk about home educating in partnership with our older children, and the importance of de-schooling as a home ed parent. And Jackie tells me the best quote about being a new home edder. I promise this one's going to stick with you. So now, on with the episode. Hi, this week I'm talking to Jackie of Jackie Wakelam from Instagram. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming on the programme.
Well, thank you for having me. This is fun.
Good. Right. Tell me a bit about your family.
Well, I am married to my husband, Michael, my 6'4" Australian of 21 years now. And I have two children, Zoe, who is 19, almost 20, and Jonathan, who is 13. And we have a Vizsla, Hungarian Vizsla dog, and a leopard gecko lizard. And we live in Greater London, used to be called Middlesex, doesn't exist anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we've been absorbed into the ever-sprawling geography of London. So Greater London now, and it's beautiful. It's far enough away that I don't feel like I'm near the you know, the craziness, and close enough that we can just hop on the Met line and be at Baker Street in 20 minutes and you know, have access to everything that London, you know, can provide. So yeah, that's our life. We live a pretty busy but simple life, if that's possible.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, and I did live in Australia for 17 years, where I met my hubby and had my children, and we've been back here 10 years now. So, but I grew up in Hampshire, born in Hampshire, and I left here when I was 21. So, yeah, that's how I met my Aussie man.
Wow. So, why did you start home educating?
Well, it was something that I'd heard about when we were living in Australia, and my daughter was a few years old. They don't start school till 5 over there. Right. And someone had mentioned to me about home education, and I don't even know how I came into that information, but I did. And I had a look online. The internet really was only just, you know, getting going. I think MySpace hadn't even been launched at that point. I remember hopping online, and there really wasn't that much information. It was just the packaged curriculums that you could get from America that cost, you know, $1 million to get sent to you. Yeah. And you'd get a year's worth of books. And so there were really only a couple of things like that. And oh, that's really not going to work for me. Everything was really laid out and very structured, and just seemed like school at home sort of thing. And that's really the only way that I was thinking about home education back then. Anyway, we found a lovely little school, a Christian school, very nurturing, very free in the middle of the countryside, beautiful. So that was it. I didn't think about it after that. And then we moved back to the UK, and it just didn't occur to me. I actually had to home educate for a few months because there were no places in the school. And so we went through the whole appeal process, and I just felt immense pressure all around me to, you know, you've got to have them in school. You know, you're going to fall behind. As it was, my daughter already had to jump. She had finished year two when we left Australia, but when we came here, she would have gone in at year four. So she'd already jumped a whole year.
Oh, wow.
And of course, all the, you know, the relationships are all very established at school, and you know, coming at that point was very difficult. But I just had, you know, a lot of that pressure of, you know, you've got to get her in school. And so a few months we just sort of muddled through, and it was a horrible experience because I did not know where to look or where to turn. I literally walked down to the local bookstore and said, what are they doing in school? My daughter's, you know, almost 9, and they pointed out some books, and I took them home, and my kids dreaded it and put up with me, and I just felt so, you know, completely useless. That when she did get a place, I was, you know, hurrah and relieved, and, you know, go in, make friends, and now we can be normal, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a very difficult couple of years coming in at that year four, And the relationships were very hard. My daughter's very bright, loves to learn, and she's also very extrovert, loves people and friends. And unfortunately, she was just a target for a bit of bullying, and that was a great sadness against her personality, because she was getting ostracized and picked on, the new one, the one who likes the teachers as well, the one who does well. And so it was a very sad and hard couple of years, but we thought, it will be high school soon, level playing field. But unfortunately, it just didn't work out that way. And I look back and think, why did I not think about home education? I knew about it from years and years before, but I didn't know anyone. And I could see my daughter changing after year seven. I could see her changing. I could see all the lovely bubbliness and the creativity and her unique personality. She's a Doris Day lover and loves her record player and knitting and doing crafts. And I could just see this, this sadness and this shrinking of herself happening. And I just one day I was standing in the kitchen and I just had an incredible moment of clarity and revelation. And I knew that if I didn't take her out of that situation and then that culture, that she may not go on to fully become the person that I felt that she was and could be, that she was changing, adapt or die kind of thing. She was adapting to her environment. So I made that decision, not knowing any other home educators, or rather thinking that I didn't. And then a week before she finished up, I had a phone call from a friend of mine. We knew each other, but not closely. But she said, I hear you're about to start home educating, Zoe. And I said, yeah, I am. And she said, do you want to come and meet some other home educators? And
brilliant. I said,
what? There are others? Yes. I thought it was just me against the world, but I didn't mind. I felt, I just felt like I knew I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And she invited me to this Christmas get together, and I walked in and there were just all these incredible families and women and, with 3, 4, 5, 7 children. And and they all seemed pretty normal. And not only that, but they were, strong women, intelligent women, and also diverse and creative and invested in their families. And, I think I cried or I was really close to it. It was just incredible. And my friend actually had home educated her son all the way. And I mean, he's now at university. Yeah. And so it was just such a great encouragement to me. And 6 months later, I took my son out as well. So that was how we came to that point.
What year was he in?
He finished up year two. So he was seven years old when he came out. And my daughter, it was just before she was 13. So she did halfway through year eight in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really brave decision to make, particularly not knowing, thinking that you might be doing this like on your own, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I think if it wasn't for that conviction in my heart that I absolutely knew, I felt like I was rescuing my child, that I had that. And so even though my head was, oh my gosh, how's this going to work? What does this look like? And of course I then got online and, now compared to when it was however many, over a decade earlier, now it was a case of, oh my gosh, how do I possibly choose what to do? Because there's so much in this home ed world. But that conviction and the fact that I knew that it was legal, I'm a learner, so I felt confident in that. I could at least do it along with her. That we'd do it together and that it would work out. And one of the quotes or one of the sayings that I heard, I can't remember the lady's name, but that really anchored me as well, was I heard someone's quote this woman who said, deciding to home educate your children is like tucking them under your arms, jumping off a cliff, and then discovering you have wings. And what it was like for me, because you're just tucking them under, taking that plunge, and then after a while you realize actually this is not only doable, but this is good and this is great and this is amazing. I hope that would be everyone's experience. I know we all do have different support and voices around us, but I just feel very fortunate that I had that that first voice and then the community, and so that confidence came, and then it was never looking back, and I then couldn't wait to bring my son out as well.
I guess it's one of those things where it's like where there's always feels there's that pressure that you have to get everything right the first time. And I think one of the big things that I feel that I've learned over the time is that you have more time than you think you do. Even though, you watch your kids growing up and you're like, oh my God, look at how big they're getting. But it doesn't matter if you get things wrong. Like, you can try different ways to find, and try different things to find the thing that suits your family at, sometimes it's at that particular time. Rather than like forever and ever. But like, you have the time to do that. And I think we forget it. We think we have to do everything perfectly the first time, because if we don't, they'll be behind and it'll be wrong and whatever. And it's like, the process is far more forgiving than that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so flexible, so organic. And the way that your relationships develop, and you get to know your child and your child gets to know you, and to work together and say, hey, this is not working. We can just drop this. We don't even have to finish this. let's start something new. Which has been so freeing, because of course, you do obviously have a lot more limitation at school with subjects that you can choose, especially when it comes to exam paths, and you can only take one creative thing, or and yet for my daughter, she's all creative. I mean, she did well in whatever, but she was happy that we could, leave maths till last, and we could not worry about the sciences, but we could focus on, hey, we're going to do sign language, let's learn sign language this term, and focus on her art and her music, her writing, and those areas which now she's pursuing with all her heart, which I love. So it's been great to be able to give that feast of exposure to those things that inspire her and give her that passion to learn and grow and pursue what she's got in her heart, and I hope for my son as well.
Was that harder with her being older and close to the exam years? Did that give you a sort of pressure to conform, I guess?
I it was good in that I'm just so thankful for my friend, because her son was a year or two further ahead, and so she was a great mentor in letting me see how it can work, and also in saying you don't actually have to do these now, you don't have to do any GCSEs if you don't want. You can go straight to A level later on if you want, and telling me of other home ed families that had gone straight to university. And so I had a lot of that permission, but I knew for my daughter, she's very goal orientated as well, loves to study, loves to have a reward and a result for that study. So for us it was okay, well, if we're going to do exams, if you want to do exams, because also she was considering, well, if I want the sixth form door to be open to me and the college door, then these are the hoops we need to jump through. These are the boxes we need to tick. So to have the freedom to go, okay, well, what do we want to study? Obviously you need your maths and English, but what do we want to study? So we got to study classical civilization, which we wouldn't have got to do at school. So there we were, learning Homer's Odyssey and doing the Aeneid and, Roman Britain and Pompeii. And,
oh, brilliant.
It was wonderful. And so we chose exams that we felt we could be passionate about, that we could enjoy, that she would then also get what she needed at the end of it. But we broke that up over 4 years. So from 13 through to 17, we did one year, we did two the next year, we did two the year after that, and then we did an A-level and her last GCSE right on the end. So to be able to pace ourselves was really great, and to enjoy it a bit more and also not spend forever on it when, yes. you know, we did, you know, most exams in either 9 or 6 months, yeah. which was great. So, yeah, but with my son, we're just sort of at that point now, and we've just actually been talking about it this morning and saying, you know, what do we really feel to do with the next few years? And I mean, that's actually quite an optimistic thing to say as a home educator, because a few years is forever.
Yeah.
And anything can happen. But for the moment, we're thinking, well, do we want to go down this route, or should we just wait? You know, do we have to get into an exam mode here, or do we want to not think about it yet? So I've learned that definitely from my experience with Zoe. And yeah, she does. She says, I was your guinea pig, Mum. He's getting it easy now.
It's always the way. As a firstborn, I know this one, you know? the thing that's coming out in this conversation is it's so much about being in partnership with your children over this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like the responsibility, I guess, is ultimately ours. But because you're around your children so much more.
Yeah.
Like you can actually, you know, you can have these discussions with them. It's not, they're not being pulled through a system where it's like, well, you just got to choose off this thing because this is what is available to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You actually get to say, okay, now, well, what's going to work? What's going to work for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're so surprising. And I think for me, there was a lot of unlearning for me, you know, yes. getting out of my expectations and the boxes of how I thought, you know, the journey should go, what the expectations were. I'm going, no, actually, we don't need to do it that way. And well, why don't you ask your child, you know, and studying them and seeing what works for them. You know, are they a visual learner? Are they, you know, more orientated in, you know, in a analytical, logical way? And so, yeah. And I've been so surprised with the things that they've come back with and said, oh, you know, I really would love to learn about this. And oh, okay, I never would have thought of that. So, and I think that's the other thing as well, is realizing that it's not about, you know, my expectation of who I want them to become. It's about the responsibility that I have to nurture them into them becoming the best them that they are, that they already are, that they've already got, you know, talents and gifts and passions, and that I can just facilitate the nurture of that and enjoy that with them.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, oh no, they need to look like this, they need to turn out like this. And so it's very freeing to be able to let that go, but it takes time. And I think it's just the encouragement of the community around you, seeing other families, you know, ones that have gone before and they're still alive and their kids are okay, you know.
It's very important to see.
Yeah.
So you can sleep at night and just be like, I think it's going to go okay. Other people have survived this.
Exactly.
It's an adventure. It's about going on an adventure, isn't it? And I think that...
It is.
And I think that, like... When we talk about de-schooling in a very sort of specific way of like, you know, we take our children out of school and we're going to have this kind of quieter period where we're going to transition into this other lifestyle. But I do think there is the de-schooling of a home ed parent's mind.
Yes.
Takes years. We don't realize, you know, we did this job of being a kid in school for 13 years, many of us, never mind you know, further education, and we have this idea of what a childhood should be and what an education should be. And I do think I find for myself that the de-schooling of my mind of what is possible and what is a relevant and, you know, an education that is still an education, you know, if it isn't written into exercise books that you're never gonna look at again. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's an ongoing process, I find.
Definitely. I mean, and for me, 7 years down the track, it's still, you know, and I think, and in a sense, you're going to have that, I think, with every child because they're different. It's the same, you know, different strokes for different folks, isn't it? The same way or journey is not going to work for the next one as they grow. And so it's a discovery all the time.
So what do you love about home education?
What do I love? Well, I think a lot of the things that we've talked about, definitely the deepening of the relationships, which I know in our next question I'll talk a little bit about that. Because it's definitely something that you work towards and you grow towards, and that is a cultivating labor of love. It's a work, because you do find yourself, you know, together all the time, all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. The learning together, for me as well, I did not have a great education at school, because I didn't have a great experience at school. And so for me, again, that mindset of kind of left school now, so you shut the door on that learning. Now, even though I am a learner, I'm a lifetime learner in other ways, I never would have thought of myself as that. So for me to come into the home education journey, it's made me a learner again in a new way, which I've loved. And most passionately and importantly is all the incredible books I'm getting to read that I never read growing up, which has just been, I mean, well, I'm sure we're the same. I'm sure we're all the same. I've got way too many books and not enough time to read them, but knowing that they're there makes me very happy. So I've absolutely loved that, to become a learner alongside my children, and you know, he who teaches learns, to be able to you know, explore the Aeneid, Homer's Odyssey, you know, these different poets and writers, and to feel like I'm feeding my mind again in a new way, and enriching you know, my view of the world, beauty and art and culture and thoughts, and that's been wonderful.
I think it's easier to it's easier to read them because you're sharing them with somebody else.
Yeah,
like all these books that I kind of always thought, oh yeah, I'm supposed to read that, or I do want to read it or whatever, and never would, I get to share with my kids, and that sort of justifies it, so I get to enjoy it.
Yeah,
because I'm making an effort to read it to my kids, I get to enjoy it as well. It's weird.
Yeah, and I've definitely loved that as well, the reading aloud, reading together as a family, sharing in a story that way. And you know, you don't realize, even though you might have been touched by that as a child, although it was mainly my auntie would tell us stories to my sister and I, her scary story. It was quite a funny story, but we'd beg her to tell us this story. It wasn't something that you necessarily purpose to do, because you don't realize the value of that if you haven't heard about the value of it and how you know, it shapes your child's heart, and how those stories are, you know, developing their imagination and their capacity to hope and to dream and to believe in things. And so reading aloud has also just been such a gift from, you know, coming into home ed as well. And so we do that a lot. We love that. And yeah, like you say, you can really, I think, share in the joy and the riches of a book and a story together a lot more, as you talk about it and discuss the different ideas or the pictures. It's great.
Yeah. So what's the hardest part?
Being together all the time.
Yes.
Which I don't think I'm the first person that you've had on to say that.
No.
I think, you know, is it easier for people to do it right from the beginning? I don't know. But I know for myself, who was quite driven in some ways, I was a professional photographer and, you know, a bit of a doer, you know, getting on and doing things. And so, you know, you really are. You're saying, you know, this is a sacrificial life I'm about to now live. I'm going to lay down my pursuits, my desires, my interests. Not so much now, because my children are obviously, they're older, but you know, when they're younger, you know, I just didn't have the time or the energy to be editing 300 photos. You know, something had to give. So, you know, being together all the time, I think, that forces you to work through issues, attitudes, behaviors, which is a good thing, but it is a hard thing. But you do, I think, if you are intentional about that, you learn to, you know, read each other and get to know each other. Okay, you know, they're hormonal or they're tired. Okay, let's just have a little time out, or let's all hop in the car and go and get a thick shake, or, you know, but you don't go out and shut the door and not see someone for hours and hours. You know, you are, you are in the messiness of it, which, yeah, is a massive change, and was for me, that, you know, my bath time at night would be my sanctuary.
Yes.
Even though I'd still be getting notes under the door, or, you know, she said blah blah blah, or
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you do learn, and obviously now 7 years in, I've just have different routines and rhythms where, you know, I have that time for myself. I make that time for myself because I now value and know if I don't get that, then you're going to get bad cop. You don't want bad cop. You are good mummy. So, you know, those are the things that you learn along the way. I think the other thing is just, was a challenge as well, is just financially, of saying, okay, we need to make, you know, choices of priority. You know, where do we want to spend our money, what's the best investment, what things do we love the most that we're willing to put our finances in, you know, what things do we need to cut? And sometimes that would change. You know, we might have guitar lessons for 6 months and then okay, we can't do that right now because you want to go and do this drama course. So
yeah,
you know, I think that was just a new thing to have to navigate. And yeah, you just get very good at being frugal and living in the charity shops and finding books for a penny on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And the library, you know, thank God for the library.
Oh, yeah, totally. So I guess this sort of segues into, how do you make the hard things easier?
Yeah, well, I think we've grown into our freedom, grown into our style. To stop comparing, that was a big thing. So not on a practical level, but definitely on a psychological, you know, keep yourself sane. Don't be thinking, I need to have this, I need to have that, or we need to be, you know, I think social media can be, you know, really not helpful in that way now, because you can look at, you know, other families. And of course, everybody looks like they've got it all together and it's the perfect homemade family. And you're like, I'm just trying to stop my two from killing each other.
Yeah.
So to stop comparing, you know, we've definitely, you know, you grow into your own rhythm, your routine. I think having good voices around you, you know, people that can encourage you, that have got that positive voice, that will say, you know, you're going to be okay. It's not going to be like this forever. That have got, you know, some practical ideas for you. So kind voices to mentor you. Having realistic expectations of myself and of my children, also accepting our limitations. That, you know, we can't do this or we can't do that, and or we're not going to be like this. That this is us, this is who we are, and bucket loads of grace, you know, bucket loads of grace. You know, we are now we're, you know, two adults, one young adult, because obviously my husband's at work in the day, but, you know, we're all in the same house. Sometimes we're all hormonal at the same time. Mm-hmm. Let's just love each other. They didn't mean to say that. maybe they're hangry, you know, they just need some food.
Yeah.
So lots of grace and, yeah, being flexible. Let's just go out for the day. Come on, let's drop everything. Let's have a change of scene. Let's go and do our study at Starbucks, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got different rhythms and anchors. You know, I don't always rush to get my teen son up. I think let sleeping dogs lie, you know, let him have that extra sleep, and we're then going to have a lovely start to our day. And we always sit down and have a cup of tea, light a candle. I've got some music on, and we'll do a little Bible reading together, or we'll have read something in a book, or we'll have a poem. So we just start easy, and it's not like, right, you know, we need to get these books done and
maths, 8 a.m.
Yes, come on. I want you converting those decimals to fractions before breakfast. So you grow into your own skin, don't you? You grow into your own puzzle that you've been given, and to not look at anyone else and go, you know, I can make this work for us, and this is about us and how we want to do it. So yeah, all of those different things, and a lot of time and humility, a lot of grace, and just wanting to keep learning and tweaking, like you were saying before, along the way.
Yeah. So what's the typical day in life?
This is where everyone laughs, I think, at this question. typical.
I know, because no one really has one. Well, it's like the one you have now is not really the one you have in like 3 or 4 months' time, because the seasons change. And,
exactly. So
but
true.
Right now.
So it's definitely changed over the years, especially now. Obviously, my daughter graduated, and she stopped home ed after she'd done her A levels, and so it's my son and I, my 13-year-old Jonathan. So yeah, I really am trying to be quite grown up about getting myself up at least an hour or two before I have to think about home ed, just so that I can have some time to myself, have a cup of tea, have a read, catch up on some administration with different things that I'm involved in. I also run photography workshops now for home ed students, so I might have work with that. And I'm also involved in our church, so admin, things like that.
Yeah.
And then, like I was saying, we'll get up, we'll have our morning time, which is just very laid back. We'll have breakfast. If it's a beautiful day, we might just go for a walk or a nature walk straight away. Although my son's been doing that a bit on his own, which I've actually missed. But normally we'll go for a walk together. And so then we've really just got a balance of, okay, what are our need to's? What do we need to do today, if there's anything, which generally is maths, any follow-up work from things, groups that he might be in. He does a Latin group, so he has homework from that. He's also got a writing mentor with a writing program for young writers, so he might have work from that. So, okay, these are the things we need to do, and then what are the things that we want to do or would like to do? So normally we're generally finished by, lunchtime or just after lunchtime. And then the next, next couple few hours are project time, things that we're really interested in. Or yeah, we might go off out. So we're semi-structure. I like to have a little bit, but very much work that all around interests and passions that he's got. And like I say, even this morning we're sitting there thinking, okay, we've been doing this now for the last 6 months. How's this working? And do we like this? Should we drop this book? We're not really feeling that. And what would we like to look up? And so, yeah, just from those conversations, okay, let's think about how we can do that. So that's pretty much our routine. And he has, a different group that he might go to for Latin or piano lesson, although we're not doing that at the moment. Right now I'm thinking about starting a sort of a classical conversation book study type creative writing group. So that would become a part of our routine where, half a day a week we'd try and get a small group together. And so it is always changing. I've run science groups and got a tutor in. I've run art groups and got a tutor in. Drama groups and got a tutor in at different times. But we're quite sort of home-based at the moment. My son, is focused on his art, his writing and his music. So a lot of them are here. And if we do anything quite different, we'll just have a change of scene, like we did take our books to Starbucks this morning. That's my confession.
Sometimes you just have to get out of the house. That's just, you just do.
You do. Yeah, you get it. I mean, I am an introvert, but I can get cabin fever. And I mean, we do. We love our walks, being outside, collecting sticks with berries and leaves and conkers. And we love going for a nature walk. And so being outside is really important. So we will do that every day. That is a part of our rhythm and our routine one way or another. But I need to accompany him a little bit more. he's lacking some alone time.
So what's going on for home educators in your area?
A lot, yeah. And very big communities, it seems, in every county or borough. So for me, I think the Facebook groups, I think you were talking to my friend Philippa actually about this. Facebook's really become, you know, I've had a love-hate relationship with Facebook over the years. You know, there are times when you just quit it and don't want to be dealing with that evil thing anymore. And then obviously it's just such an incredibly useful connecting point for people. And so I see so much on Facebook with local groups, groups in London, things that are going on, trips and meetups and teen groups, and there's a Christmas prom happening. Yeah, lots happening, but I find most of that happens through Facebook. I mean, we've got a Yahoo group as well, but yeah, there's parks and outings. It's very easy to get connected, but I do find it goes through Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the time. And I do still meet home educators occasionally who have just been on their own for years because they're not on Facebook and they don't know anyone else. I've had that happen a few times. Yeah, and I'm like, girl, there's loads of us. You are not alone.
We're just hiding over here. We're not even hiding. It's just we're over here.
Yeah, so always something going on. And really, I mean, I've been through all different seasons where, yeah, at one point you're like scheduling to be home.
Yes.
Because you're doing so much, you know, which is great because you're kind of, you know, gorging on it sometimes. And there's so many great things to do. But yeah, you do. You go through different seasons and rhythms. And at the moment we're home a lot more, but we are looking at a couple more group things at the moment. But yeah, lots happening.
So do you have any resource recommendations for home ed parents?
I think my main one would be a fantastic book, which I wish I had had at the beginning, by Sally and Clay Clarkson, called Educating the Wholehearted Child. It is such an extensive resource. They are American, but what they write, the philosophy of home education, you know, just translates across every nationality. And what they've done, what Sally and Clay have done, is also laid out a very broad picture of what home education can look like. So they don't ascribe to any particular philosophy or style in the sense of, you know, okay, you want to be national curriculum or you want to be Charlotte Mason. Or what they do is they talk about all the different ways that you can home educate, but they go much more into the heart of the benefits of home education to do with relationships and the freedom of choice and the way that you can access, you know, other materials that you can be more selective about for your children. But it's such an incredible resource, and there are sheets in there that can help you get organized, you know, planners. There's a sort of personality profiling that you can do with your children to see what style of learner they are, which I found so helpful as well. So yeah, that is a great resource, Educating the Wholehearted Child. excuse me, I do have a little frog. Hill Tuition, Ruth Hill, has also been really grateful for, I've been really grateful for with her, because she offers some fantastic online resource for UK students. And Fairgos as well, which are down in Hampshire, they are a great exam centre, but they do a lot more than that. They have a great support system and a wealth of knowledge and information. I'm using The Good and the Beautiful, which is American, for literature and language arts by a lady called Jenny Phillips. Which, yeah, again, is USA based, but such a beautiful curriculum with lovely literature to read and poetry, artists, art study, composer study. Such a lovely package. So if you've got a friend that can bring that over and you can avoid any postage, then just buy that friend an extra packet of Hobnobs and bribe them into that. Other than that, I would recommend LeahBowden, .com, who has been quite instrumental and wonderful at bringing the Charlotte Mason philosophy and methods of home education into the modern era. And she's incredibly freeing and liberating and empowering to home educators. She doesn't focus on, you know, you need to do this, that, and the other, yeah, like some do. It's very much about, you know, working with your child, but within that philosophy of, you know, laying a feast before your children so that they're exposed to all the different richness of things that they can take in and learn and be exposed to, and, you know, facilitating their learning. So Leah's fantastic as well.
Yes, if you don't know who LeahBowden is, I interviewed her last week. This will be it'll be the episode before this one. In fact, will be LeahBowden.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I will put the link to that show in the show notes.
Oh, that's great. Oh, how lovely. Yes,
she was wonderful.
You will love her.
She was completely wonderful. Yeah, you'll. You know, she if you haven't is. Listened to the podcast. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, lovely.
Right. So, do you have any book recs?
Yeah. Well, other than the Educating the Wholehearted Child for the parents. Oh my gosh, books. So what we loved when I was first reading with Jonathan was the Holling books. Holling, Clancy Holling is his full name, but he wrote Seabird, The Tree in the Trail. Again, he's American. Paddle to the Sea, but those books are so beautiful. The heart of them, oh, just love them. We love Madeleine L'Engle, you know, Wrinkle in Time, Elizabeth Googe, The Little White Horse, Gentle Ben, The K, love The K, and Nanny McPhee books, the original ones, Nurse Matilda, are absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And we did a count of all the names of the children. We got up to some incredible number of how many children there were in that family.
Yeah.
But the original books are just so delightful and so fun. And I love Kate Greenway. She was a Victorian illustrator and writer, and she does the most beautiful, whimsical, lovely illustrations and poetry and stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you know, I'm still discovering. And I mean, as on top of all that, you've got Jane Austen, C.S. Lewis, Tolkien. Mm-hmm. A book that I really would recommend is by Sarah Clarkson called Read for the Heart, because that's basically a similar to Honey for a Child's Heart by Gladys Hunt. In that you've got someone who, you know, has read a lot of those books and can give you a little synopsis. And I'm a big believer that stories form the heart of our children. So the stories that we read to them are really important. You know, is the hero, you know, really a hero? Were they more of an anti-hero? You know, how is that character shaping their heart? So storyformed.com is a brilliant resource for book recommendations, but also in just helping to cultivate that understanding of the power of story in your child's life. And so I'm always looking for good books that, you know, have good versus evil, but, you know, evil's in its right place and good, you know, is as well. And that, you know, stories are a rehearsal for life. They will read these stories, they'll read these characters, and that's maybe hopefully how they're going to go on and act, you know, when they're older, when they're in a difficult situation. And
yeah,
that's what I love about Narnia. You've got Edmund, you know, who obviously betrays his family, but then realizes, oh my gosh, I've made such a terrible mistake and I just want to be forgiven and back with my family. And of course, that's what he receives. And so, yeah, not everyone's perfect, but there's always there's redemption and there's forgiveness. And so, yeah, look, I've got way too many books, half of them waiting to be read. But they're some of my favorites.
Thank you so much. Where can people find you online?
Either at JackieWakeland.com, where I have a blog. I also am on Instagram under my name, Jackie Wakelam, and I'm also involved with a ministry to women called Mum Heart Ministry, which is an American ministry, but I've taken on that ministry here to mums So yeah, I can be found through sallyclarkson.com as well, I think. Actually, it might be lifewithsally.com. Actually, it is. It's lifewithsally.com, where I'm a contributor on there.
I will put it in the show notes.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today. It's been fantastic.
Oh, this has been so good. And I'm just so happy to have met you and love what you're doing. And yeah, I just hope it's and believe it will be such an encouragement to women that will come across your podcast. I can't wait to recommend and share the love and have women being inspired and encouraged and validated in what they're doing in their homes.
Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast or Twitter at Home Ed Voices. This is episode 12. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcast, as it helps more people find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrod. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with episode 13 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.